Lesson 1. One God and One Church. Introduction. When people talk about going to church, they mean going to the church building for a scheduled worship service. Many people say they go to church to learn about God. Sometimes people who feel far from God go to church hoping to feel the presence of God. People who know God go to church hoping to experience His presence in worship. The church is about God. People should be able to experience the presence of God in the worship services of the church. But the church is not a building, and it is not just the meetings for worship. The church is the group of believers who are committed together to be the church. So, when we talk about people seeing the church or coming into the church, we mean the group of believers. When we say the church is about God, we don't mean only that the building and worship service are about God. The life that the group of committed believers has together is about God. Origin of the word. The Greek term ecclesia, Strong's number G1677, is the word commonly translated church in the New Testament. In the first century, this Greek word was in common use. When citizens of a city were called together for a meeting, the meeting was called an ecclesia. The word is used 117 times in the New Testament, but not all of those occurrences refer to the church. Some refer to other kinds of meetings, Acts 19, 32 and 39, and 41. The gospel is offered to the people of every race, social class, location, and occupation. Just as everyone in the city could hear the announcement for a meeting, no category of people is excluded from receiving the offer of the gospel. The church is the group of people that responds to the call of the gospel. They come from every category of people to form a special, diverse group of people who are committed to Christ and His church. God the Father in the church. The persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, relate to believers in special ways in the church. God will be glorified for eternity for the works He does in the church. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3:21. Because the church exists for God's glory, nothing should be done by the church that dishonors God. The church should do nothing that gives people a misunderstanding about what God is like or makes a person the focus instead of God. The church is the family of God. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Matthew 6:9. Because the church is the family of God, it is not possible for a person to be truly in the church unless he believes in God and is in relationship with Him. A person does not enter the church only by knowing the people of the church. He enters the church by coming into relationship with God and then committing to a relationship with God's people. Christ in the church. Jesus is the one who built the church. Jesus promises the ultimate success of the church. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. Jesus promised to be with the church. I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Matthew 18:20. Christ is the head of the church. The church is His body in the world. The personal relationship that Christ has with the church is deeper than we can understand. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Ephesians 1:22-23. Because we are members of His body. Ephesians 5:30. Because a member of the church is a part of the body of Christ, it is not possible for a person to truly be part of the church unless he has personally put his faith in Jesus as Savior and accepted Christ's authority as Lord. The Holy Spirit in the Church. The book of Acts shows that the early church was conscious of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave inspiration and power for preaching, Acts 2:11. He called people to special ministry, Acts 13:2. He guided them to the right places for ministry, Acts 16:6-10. He settled doctrinal issues, Acts 15:28. The Holy Spirit is the great director of the church in fulfilling its worldwide mission. No single human organization can expect to accomplish the whole task. God calls and sends missionaries, and He knows the needs of every geographical area. A person enters the church by experiencing the miracle of regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Because regeneration is a supernatural experience, evangelism is supernaturally guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The results of evangelism cannot be explained by natural causes. The life of the church is life in the Spirit. Worship in the early church was guided by the Holy Spirit. He spoke through various members, Acts 4:30-31. The planned program of worship could be changed at any time by the Holy Spirit. The church is different from every other kind of human organization. Members of the church are in fellowship with each other because they are in relationship with God and have spiritual life. A person who is not converted is not really in that fellowship, even if he likes the church and is a friend to the people of the church. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts that members should use for serving one another. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. In the first days of the early church in Jerusalem, the commitment and unity of the members was so strong that it is hard for modern believers to imagine. People sold property and gave the money so that the members of the church could share life together. When Ananias and Sapphira lied, they were killed because their sin disrespected the wonderful work the Holy Spirit was doing in the church. Acts 4:32-35 and Acts 5:1-4. The unity of the church is accomplished by the life of the Spirit. The church, not the building, but the group of believers, is called the temple of God because the Spirit lives in the church in a special way, 2 Corinthians 6:16. Serious judgment is pronounced on any person who harms the spiritual temple where Christian unity exists, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. God revealed by the church. The church helps people to remember God, focus on God, and experience change by God. The church is designed and created by God. More than anywhere else on earth, church is the place where the will of God is done purposely by people who love God. Therefore, the church shows the world what God is like. By looking at the church, people should see that God is loving and merciful, cares about all people, forgives, supports truth, keeps commitments, and hates sin while loving sinners. Worship. Because the church exists for God, the worship of the church should be focused on God. When worship becomes focused on human leaders or performers, it becomes human-centered, which is idolatry. Wrong worship becomes fleshly, exalting certain people and appealing to natural desires. Wrong worship can even become demonic because worshippers are yielding themselves to feelings and spirits that are not from God. The One Universal Church. Before continuing the lesson, read Ephesians 4:1-6. What is the main point this passage makes about the church? Paul called the believers to be in unity. The reason for unity is that there is only one church, just as there is only one God and one gospel. All true Christians are in the same body. There is one Christianity and one church because there is one God. The fact that there is one universal church is emphasized in 1 Corinthians 12:13, where Paul said that the believing Gentiles all come into one body. A creed is a statement of foundational Christian beliefs. An early Christian creed called the Apostles' Creed included the statement, "I believe in the Catholic Church." The word Catholic in the creed did not refer to the Roman Catholic Church. It meant universal or complete. The creed was saying that there is one church that is represented by Christians everywhere. Before continuing the lesson, read Ephesians 2:20. The church is built on one foundation, the ministry and truth revealed by the apostles and prophets, and the ministry, message, atonement, and continuing life of Jesus Christ. There is one foundation and one church. There is a religion in China called Eastern Lightning. They believe that the work of Jesus is finished and that God has sent a new Messiah for modern times. The new Messiah is a Chinese woman who teaches new doctrines. The unity of the universal church does not mean that one organization is the whole church. No single organization comes close to fulfilling God's purpose for the church everywhere in the world. Jesus told his apostles not to expect all Christians to be in the same organization, Mark 9:38-39. The Roman Catholic Church claims to be the whole church of God. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses claim the same. Something to think about. What would you say to a person who claims that his organization is the whole church of God on earth? Local church accountability to the one church. The local church should not feel free to develop doctrine independently. In one place, Paul gave directions, then said it was done that way in the churches of God, 1 Corinthians 11:16. He told a church that they should accept certain ministers because they represented the other churches, 2 Corinthians 8:23-24. He was obviously implying that it would be wrong for a church to decide to hold doctrines different from all the other churches. The Corinthian church was blessed with spiritual gifts. They began to think of themselves as independent, not needing to listen to anyone else. Paul corrected their thinking and practices and reminded them that they were not the origin of the Word of God. It came to them from others and did not come to them alone, 1 Corinthians 14:36. He went on to say that those in their church who were spiritually perceptive would recognize Paul's directions as inspired by God. The local church should be self-governing and self-supporting, but it needs a relationship with the universal church for doctrinal stability, training resources, and world mission perspective. Today there are many kinds of churches and a great variety of doctrine, even though they claim to follow the Bible. For a church to be accountable to the universal church does not mean that it should try to be like all of the other churches around it. It should hold the doctrines of Christianity that were essential at the beginning of the New Testament church. It should also be part of an association of churches that provides accountability for each other. For doctrinal stability, a local church should have three things. 1. A conviction that the Bible is the absolute authority. 2. The essential doctrines of historic Christianity. 3. Fellowship in an association of churches with good theology. In this lesson, we are studying the second in the list. We will talk about church associations in another lesson. A local church should not feel free to accept doctrines that are contrary to the essential Christian doctrines of the early church. Those doctrines are stated in certain early creeds. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Chalcedonian Creed state the doctrines that were essential to Christianity from the beginning. They include doctrines of the Trinity and doctrines of the deity of Christ and the Holy Spirit. If a church rejects the doctrines of those creeds, it should not call itself Christian, because it is a different religion. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he arose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. What if a person decides he doesn't agree with one of the statements of the Nicene Creed? Because these doctrines have been held by the Church from the beginning, if he denies one, he is claiming to have an understanding of truth that the Church did not have for 2,000 years. If a church or individual does not hold the doctrines of the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Chalcedonian Creed, his doctrine should not be trusted. The doctrines of the creeds support the gospel. If a person denies a doctrine of the creed, he may be contradicting the gospel. Something to think about. What would you say to a person who says he is a Christian but disagrees with a statement in the Nicene Creed? 7 summary statements. 1. A local church is the group of believers who commit together to be the church in a specific place. 2. The church shows the nature of God to the world. 3. The life of the Spirit is the life and unity of the church. 4. Church membership is based on relationship with God and commitment to the group of believers. 5. There is one universal church following one Christianity because the church is about one God. 6. No human organization is the whole church of God on earth. 7. A local church must hold the essential historical doctrines of the universal church.